We've got Phil Moss coming up shortly. He's multi-won again. He's gone back-to-back, the Moster. So he's in form. And we'll get his take on the Ollie Roos, the A-League, the Premier League, the FA Cup. Stacks to talk about with Mossy shortly. You look like you got something to say, Loz. So
no, I haven't. I just had a bit of a laugh to myself about you and I as punters. Just the bets we had on the weekend.
Oh.
Like, I had a bet on rugby union. and Mido had a bet. Have a guess on what? Have a guess, Dewey. Just have some random stab at the dark.
Netball?
No, it wasn't netball. A draft pick in the NFL draft.
I need Jaden Daniels to go number two on Friday. Season-long multi. I mean,
is it the last league?
First league. I've got it into Manly to make the eight, into the Gold Coast Suns to make the eight, which I can tell is just going to be a season-long tease.
Does he have to get picked number two?
Yeah, it has to be picked number two.
Number two.
Not number one, it has to be picked two. Heisman Trophy winner.
What are the odds of that?
And the Washington Commanders have the pick. It's $2.35. I think now it's about $1.70, his favourite. At one stage, he was $1.30.
To get picked second.
But how's this? Apparently, his agent kicked up a stink because he had to go to Washington. They had like a day where they invited some of the draft prospects in.
Yeah, right.
And they didn't invite him alone. They invited him with four other prospects. And so his agent didn't like that and made it known. So apparently that's annoyed. The games that get played, seriously. Oh. And how it moves betting markets as well.
What is the number two draft pick get in the NFL for monetary-wise?
Well, any pick in the first... Yeah, it's a sliding scale,
for sure.
I don't know the numbers, Stuart. But obviously, the higher you pick, the more you're getting.
Put it this way, he's getting enough.
Yeah. And Loz is what you back the Western Force against the Crusaders.
I don't know who won that game.
I couldn't even watch the game.
37-15. The
mate,
Force
they were $5.20.
The Force.
The Force. Yeah.
How do you even watch it?
On my group text, I went, "Boys, I know nothing about Union, but surely $5.20 is a good price." And any other boy said, "I'll take your money. I'll take your money." And I'm like, "Nah."
A lot of those are good rugby people.
Right,
Crusaders, they're horrendous.
Yeah, but they're going like busted, don't they? Yeah.
They're 1-7. They're on the bottom of the ladder, and they're $5.20 at home as well. The Force.
And Curtly Beale played his first game.
Yeah. Well done to him as well.
Most definitely.
37-15. The Brumbies got beat by the Blues 46-7. They've only lost two games, but to the two best teams that they've been hammered by both, the Blues and the Hurricanes.
How are the Waratahs going?
Well, they didn't play on the weekend. They had a little bye-skies. The Reds beat the Highlanders 31-0. So the Waratahs are 2-6. But the Brumbies are third, 6 wins, 2 losses. And the Rebels are fourth. And they're, looks like they might, have done a deal and are staying around. I think that's all still to be determined. But they're 5 wins, 3 losses. And the Queensland Reds are 4-4 in sixth. Mm. But the Waratahs, they need to string some wins together. But it's the top eight out of the 12 that make the finals. So
everyone makes it.
Well, 1v8. I mean, if you finish eighth,
you're not going to be.
They play that system.
They play the. Yeah. But the rugby league used to do that. It was 1v8 and then the.
Oh, yeah.
2v7 and the highest place losers miss out or get through to the next round, I think it is, whatever it may be.
G'day, Mossy. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic, Mido, yourself.
Yeah, very well, thank you. Well done on the multi, getting up once again.
Back-to-back.
Back-to-back, you'll take that. Let's start with
this. I haven't heard from Mr. 60, 0 out of 66 for a couple of weeks.
Oh, no, yeah, he's had a whinge, don't worry, on the text line this morning, Mr. Waddell, the bloke. We get an essay every Monday about all the tips. But anyway, let's start with the FA Cup. And, what a game at Wembley overnight between Coventry City, who won the FA Cup, I think it was 1987, Mossy. And here they are in the second tier of English football. They've got their way through to the final four. And they have given Manchester United an absolute fright before United got through on penalties.
3-0 down, Coventry found themselves. 3-0 down to Manchester United and found a way to get back to 3-3 through... A little bit of luck, some good finishing and some woeful defending from Manchester United. again, I mean, that for me is the great escape by Manchester United. It's not a lot to celebrate there. And then scraping through on penalties to make it an all-Manchester derby in the FA Cup final for the second year in a row. So they face Manchester City on the 25th of May at Wembley. Manchester City, of course, getting through by virtue of their 1-0 win over Chelsea the night before. And they did exceptionally well, Manchester City, given that it was only 72 hours after a devastating loss and exit from the Champions League to Real Madrid. They did very well to get themselves back up and find a way to beat Chelsea, who had chances of their own. So it could have gone either way that game. But when you're battling that sort of mental and physical fatigue, I think Pep Guardiola can be very pleased that his team are in the final. But yeah, Manchester United certainly go into the final as underdogs, but finals are finals. It's on the day, so you never know.
Now, EPL, Liverpool back on top of the... Sorry.
Was that a nice sneeze there?
Oh, yeah. Was. I did press the button.
Yeah, it did. Came on very quickly.
Oh.
I can only imagine that was like a typhoon in the studio.
Oh, it was coming out of this.
You've seen the panic, though.
3-1, beat Fulham.
Yes, that's right, Clarkey. It was... look, we had to work for it, to be fair. We got the 3 points that we craved at Craven Cottage, if you want a headline. But it wasn't all Liverpool's way, that's for sure. And in the end, it took a couple of second-half goals from Gravenberch and Diogo Jota to get us over the line when Fulham pulled one back and equalised right on the stroke of half-time and injury time of the first half, to cancel out a fantastic free kick from Trent Alexander-Arnold. Brilliant free kick right into the top corner. Look, we're giving ourselves a chance. We're staying in the fight, which is the main thing. But Manchester City with a game in hand, of course, they didn't play over the weekend because of that FA Cup semi-final. So they're still in the driver's seat, there's no doubt, with Arsenal winning over the weekend again, 2-0 over Wolves. So, it's a three-way battle that we've been talking about. And it's just hotting up as we get closer and closer to the final couple of rounds.
Now, Mossy, I see Aston Villa had a win on the weekend, and that now takes them 6 points clear, but Tottenham still got two games in hand. But how are we getting so far? Well, we're so far into the season, only a couple of games to go, and they've still got to make up two games, Tottenham.
How's that all worked out? Yeah, well, one was from the weekend, Manchester City obviously not being able to play a league game. The other game in hand, Nido, I don't know if you know off the top of your head, but I can't remember why that's come about. But,
can't remember.
Yeah, with cups and all sorts of things this time of year, Loz, sometimes you get that. But, that'll be played pretty soon, I would imagine. Yeah. They'll have a backlog of games.
But that's not going to help them, is it, when they've got to back up pretty quickly?
No, particularly when they've still got to play. Well, the Manchester City game is on the 15th of May. But you're right, when you've got Manchester City, you've got Arsenal, you've got Liverpool, you've got Chelsea. The last thing you need is fatigue and having to rotate players too often, because then that can sometimes cost you rhythm and fluency. But, job all to do. Villa in the box seat. But those two games in hand, well, let's see how they play out.
Let's see how they do. Let's go to the A-League. MacArthur beat Sydney, but there was a bit of red card drama.
Oh, Clarkey, I reckon I'd go so far as to say it's the worst red card I've seen this season. And it was to Ivan Vujica from MacArthur. It was for a tackle on Joe Lolley. Joe Lolley was pleading with the referee not to give a red card and not to let VAR intervene. And he was the recipient of the tackle. There were some studs from Vujica, but honestly, if you understand, and I love our referees, and I know they've got a tough job, and VAR and all that stuff, and got a good relationship with them, and they explain themselves after the game, which is great. At the end of the day, if you understand football, that is never in a million years a red card. At very worst, it should have been a yellow card, but I would have been happy with a free kick play and no tickets. But anyway, it kind of ruined the game as a spectacle, to be honest, because it was early in the game. It was in the 37th minute. Sydney FC, to the credit of MacArthur, couldn't break MacArthur down. MacArthur got the go-ahead goal. Jed Drew, 49th minute, injury time of the first half. And then they were reduced to nine men in the 67th minute. Tommy Smith for an elbow on Fabio. I can understand why that was given as a red card. The elbow was raised. Was it intentional? Who knows? But I can see why it was given. But ultimately, MacArthur with a famous win that leapfrogs Sydney FC in the top six, confirms they've got finals football, and they did it with nine men. So you've got to credit Milo Stojowski and the MacArthur players.
Disastrous result for the Wanderers. Melbourne City have gone above them, so the Wanderers are now outside looking in as far as the top six is concerned.
Yeah, that was a horrible result for Western Sydney. Full credit to Aurelio Vidmar and the Melbourne City players. They came, they saw, they conquered at Combank Stadium. And as you said, huge pressure on them because had they lost that, their season was all but over. And they found a way to win the game. Western Sydney, just too inconsistent. And really, if you look at the wash-up of the season, probably they're the two inconsistent sides of the season. So whichever one misses out on the finals, they've only got themselves to blame. But Melbourne City in the box seat going into the last round this weekend.
And the Women's A-League, Melbourne City and Sydney FC won their first leg of the final?
They did, was. Fantastic to see. The Central Coast Sydney game was a standalone game. Up there at Gosford. Sydney FC just showed their experience, really, to get the job done. In the 54th minute, Mackenzie Hawkesbury with the go-ahead and winning goal. So that gives them a 1-0 lead going into the second leg at home for Sydney FC. So they'd go in as clear favourites to make the final. And Melbourne City were too good for Newcastle away from home, going to their home leg next weekend with a 3-0 aggregate. So you would imagine it will be a Sydney FC Melbourne City final, and Melbourne City would probably get hosting rights given that they finished ahead of Sydney on the ladder.
The Oli Roos, what's happened? This campaign's been, well, it's gone horrendously, hasn't it, over at the under 23 Asian Cup?
Yeah, it has. It's not what we wanted. It's not what we expected. Goalless. They didn't score a goal in their three games. A draw to Jordan, a loss to Indonesia, and a scoreless draw to Qatar. We won't be going to Paris. It's all on the women's side, the Matildas, to fly the Aussie flag in the football tournament at the Paris Olympics. There's going to be some inquisitions there for the Oli Roos, because to go into a tournament like that and not score a goal, let alone not get a win, is a disaster.
We needed Nestori Irinkunda, Mossy.
Well, that'll be one of the talking points, no doubt, Middo. It was a big talking point going in. Now that we haven't scored a goal or won a game, it'll probably be a bigger talking point. But ultimately, you know, Tony Vidmar and Nestori Irinkunda and Cal Viet know what happened behind the scenes as to why he didn't go, and I'm sure they've got their valid reasons. Apart from welfare, nothing else has really become public that I'm aware of. So don't know the ins and outs of it, but certainly he's the type of player that could have opened up any one of those three games.
We've got midweek Premier League coming up. Gee, some important games too when you think Arsenal-Chelsea on Wednesday morning our time. Then there's four games Thursday morning, Anzac Day our time, including the Merseyside derby at Goodison Park, and Everton all of a sudden will have, well, a little bit of confidence about them coming off a 2-0 win over Nottingham Forest. And then Friday morning, Brighton hosting Man City. So the title race is on.
Yeah, it certainly is. And Manchester United hosting Sheffield United. Chris Wilder, the Sheffield United manager, conceding over the weekend that their season is all but over. The relegation is assured now. So that's sad for all Blades fans. But some great games there. We love a Merseyside derby. Everton, as you said, Middo, won on the weekend. So they've just eased the pressure a little bit around relegation, but still waiting to see if there's some more points deduction. So they need as many in the bank as they can get. Bank's probably the pun, if you'll pardon the pun, because it's all around financial fair play that they're struggling with. But nevertheless, Crystal Palace also hosting Newcastle. That should be a ripper. But as you said, London derby, Arsenal and Chelsea will be a massive, massive game. With Chelsea now out of the FA Cup, pressure on Pochettino, one of their worst seasons in memory, Chelsea. So winning a London derby might just sweeten the bitter taste in their mouth just a touch. The other one, mate, just quickly, the Women's Champions League. Ellie Carpenter, who plays for Lyon, inspired her team to a comeback win over PSG. And of course, Chelsea, Sam Kerr not in the Chelsea lineup at the moment, but they beat Barca away from home in the first leg of the semi-finals. So some big results there for a few of Matilda's girls.
And I mentioned it earlier, not sure you caught any of it, but in La Liga it was El Clasico, didn't disappoint. It looks like Jude Bellingham, a stoppage time winner for Real Madrid, 3-2 over Barcelona this morning.
Yeah, I did see that one, and just had to be an Englishman, didn't it? Bellingham in the 91st minute, as you said. But, Real Madrid racing away with La Liga title. So, but a huge game there. Five goals in an El Clasico is must-watch TV.
Yeah, they're 11 points clear after 32 games at the top of the table from their nearest rivals, their biggest rivals, sorry. Thank you, Mossy. Have a great one.
You too, guys. Take care.
Phil Moss there, just on the text line. Morning, boys. Heroes, the up-and-coming young jockeys in the pony races at Randwick. That was so cool. Great for the future of jockeys. Villain, the Parramatta Eels. The second half performance was the worst display I've seen in a long time. Dolphins had heaps of players out as well. The Wollongong Wolves sending that one through. I think we're going to see this all season, Loz. We're going to see teams just... It's going to be rocks and diamonds week after week.
Yeah, I think you could be right there, Mido. There'll be a couple of consistent teams, I think. Mm. But other than that, I think you're going to see upsets along the way. I'll tell you a team that I've underestimated is the Dolphins. Mm. I thought it might have been not a one-hit wonder, but I didn't expect them to be playing as well without these players. You know, a lot of injuries. Wayne wasn't there on the weekend, but they continue to get the job done. They've unearthed some really good players. I mean, young Max Plath, what a player he is.
Yeah.
Just a hard worker, but his ability to play through the middle, but also support, was one thing that really stood out to me with his game on the weekend. For a middle to put himself in those situations, support, when breaks are made and turn up and be the beneficiary of that, put himself in the picture was stunning. So he's got a big future, and obviously he's very fit. You know, the Sharks, they were impressive over the weekends, but the Cowboys, geez, I was disappointed with them yesterday. Because I thought they had to be a bit tougher than what they were. I thought they would have showed a bit more resolve in defence, but... they went missing. But then you got the Dragons against the Warriors, who I thought were as committed as anything I've seen over the last 5-6 years.
And I know it was well documented since the game yesterday, but was it Mulatalo when he ran in from the wing under the post and just no Cowboys tried to cut off the angle?
Yeah, well, their heads obviously dropped and they were disappointed, but they just didn't play as a team, and was all the individuals trying to sort of do their own thing and thinking about their own reviews on the weekend. When they walk into that review, they can tell the coach, well, I competed, I tried hard, it was the others. That's what it looked like.
But I was okay, but the rest of them were there. Not a great place to be as a team.
You still got to work to your systems, whether it's with the ball or without the ball. But one thing you want is if a winger goes over in the corner, you don't want to give him a free run towards the sticks.
Well, he ran all the way and put it right under the sticks. Not a man in sight.
Mm. So. NBA playoffs, first round and first games of the series. The LA Clippers have beaten the Dallas Mavericks easily this morning, 109-97 in the Western Conference, and in the East in the 1-v-8 matchup. The Boston Celtics also pretty comfortable against the Miami Heat, 114-94. Matches still to come today. In the Eastern Conference, the 3-v-6 battle between the Milwaukee Bucks and the Indiana Pacers. And, Indiana are favourites because Giannis is out for the start of this series. So Indiana are $1.85 away from home. And Milwaukee are $2. The Bucks plus 1.5 at the line with Tab. And later this morning as well to tip off 11:30 Eastern Standard Time. The number one seed in the West, the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're the youngest number one seed ever, Josh Giddey's side. They're $1.26 favourites against the New Orleans Pelicans, who are the eighth seed in the West, $4. The Pelicans, or plus 8.5 at the line. And, of course, Zion Williamson is out for them with a hamstring injury. Just a few days away now until LIV Golf takes over Adelaide and the Grange Golf Club. Limited tickets and hospitality options are still available for Friday and Sunday, with Saturday pretty much all sold out. We're going to be broadcasting live from the course this Friday ahead of day one of LIV Golf. So we'll look forward to hopefully seeing a few of you there on Friday. It's golf, but louder. So don't miss this epic weekend of shotgun starts, fan village fun and headline music acts, including Fisher, Flight Facilities and Tones and I as well. Just head to livegolf.com for more.
Now, Fisher, he's a gun DJ, isn't he? Fisher?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So you guys going to watch the golf? Are you going to, after you've you going to go out? And
what time's absolutely. It actually start?
Do we know? Midday,
it'll be midday. It'll be midday. Right. Party hole. You got to get out of the party. You know, when they get a hole in one, everyone just...
Yeah, I don't know where we're going to be. But
no,
we're just going for the ride.
Well, I said to midday this morning, I said, what's our dress code?
Well, I think it's fancy dress by the looks of it, from what I've seen.
But can you get away with shorts, or do you have to wear jeans, or...
No, I reckon you'll need a collared shirt, being golf, but you can have shorts. Wouldn't have thought it'd be long pants.
Right. It well, if they're allowed to
shorts
wear...
Shorts would be fine.
Yeah, shorts. Shorts and a collared shirt.
A bit colder down there in Adelaide. Though.
Jacket.
A bit cooler.
Yeah.
So
I'm actually looking forward to going and having a look.
Who did someone say you got to get a photo with, Loz, the other day?
John Rahm?
No, it wasn't Rahmy.
Brooks Koepka?
No. Oh, the Shark. Was it the Shark?
Yeah, it was the Shark. Yep. 19 partly cloudy Friday in Adelaide. Oh, 18 partly cloudy Saturday. 21 partly cloudy Sunday. So just pleasant conditions.
You would have met the Shark over here.
Never.
Never met the Shark.
Never met the Shark.
We met him somewhere at cricket. He turned up on his boat down there in Melbourne.
How long has he been overseas for? Not 40 ever. Years?
Yeah. The Shark would be 65, wouldn't he? Google him here. But
yeah, he'd be...
He's been out of Australia. He comes back.
I wonder if he'd ever think about moving back to Australia. Yeah. His home's overseas, isn't it, in America?
Too many interests. Well, it might be Saudi Arabia now.
He's 69, the Shark.
69. Wow, 69.
Mm. I still found it amusing he had to buy a ticket to Augusta. He couldn't get a member's pass. Like, no one could let him in. No one would let him in.
Yeah. I heard that.
He, poor bloke, said he had to walk the fairways with the locals.
Yeah, oh, he would have lapped it up.
Oh, he would have loved it.
Had on wearing all his live regalia as well.
There's some people, isn't there, that you know would feel uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
And probably wouldn't do it, but there's others that you just know would just lap it up.
He's on the...
I reckon the Shark seems to me as though he wouldn't care.
Give us a call, 1353-53-0419-767-272. GWS suffered their first loss in the AFL season on the weekend, beaten by Carlton by 19 points, and Jesse Hogan and Toby Green have copped 1 week suspensions. There were indications yesterday they might fight these at the tribunal, the Giants. And based on just looking at those replays again, I'm not sure if you saw them, Loz. I mean, Toby Green's leapt in the air at a marking contest, halfway through the leap. Well, he's in the air. He's not going to make it. So he just sort of braces himself for contact, and he's going to get a week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is nothing malicious in that at all. I know that doesn't matter. It's just some of the things these people get suspended for in the AFL just does my head in.
Oh,
that is not... To me, a suspendable offence.
No, it's not, but we see how they're cracking down on all contact.
Any sort of contact.
Any contact.
And they used to always say, and I think they took it out, if it was in a football act. I'm pretty sure they use this thing called football act, and that's what Maynard got off with against Melbourne last year.
The Angus Brayshaw collision.
When he was going for that smother, the charge down.
Yeah, okay.
And I think they changed the rule coming into this year.
They did.
That no said, contact. Regardless, whether it's a football act or not, if you make contact,
the duty of care is on
the
players not to run to one another's heads.
Yeah, I love a duty of care.
Oh. And Jesse Hogan, I mean, it was barely a little tap which got the Carlton defender in the face, but he's facing a week as well. But that was not much in that either.
You see it in league all the time though, when the guy is hitting up the ball and have no really idea, but someone hits him in the middle here, and he sort of folds a little bit because you get whacked in the middle of your stomach. So you bend, and the guy coming in over the top is just going in to hit him about chest height, clicks him on the head. And the guy, there's nothing he can do about that. But he gets a fine or he gets a week or whatever it may be. They're just outlawing touching of other people's heads, period. And, you know, you can sort of understand it with the concussion And the liabilities that probably
Most definitely you can. Yeah, and I think that's one of the big challenges going forward with contact sports.
It's protection of the game for the into the future that everyone's worried about.
Well, it's a big game on Anzac Day in Canberra, the Giants and the Lions, because the Lions, their season is teetering. Their 2 wins, 4 defeats, close to premiership favourites heading into the season. And they suffered a loss to Geelong, who were the only unbeaten team now. Geelong strangled them in the game there the other night. And so they're top of the AFL ladder on 24 points. Still in the betting, interestingly, though, with Tab. GWS still pronounced favourites at $4.75. The Swans and Carlton are $7. Geelong, $7.50. Melbourne at $8. Port Adelaide and Collingwood both at $9 to win the flag. So it's pretty tight, but the market sees that the GWS are the best side.
I think the two city sides in Carlton, I think the market's got it right. From my point of view, I just think they're the three best sides.
I'd have GWS just a bit closer in the betting to Swans and Carlton.
Yeah, possibly.
They're a bit slightly under.
I never thought Geelong would be a real contender this year, but when you win six in a row...
They're never far away.
And they've had to do it without some of their stars this season, like Dangerfield's missed a fair period, I think... Cameron's missed a game or two. Hawkins has missed a game or two. So they've gone into those contests without some good players, but they've got a bit of depth. Some of the young blokes, I suppose, have come on quicker than what they thought. And
you know,
Chris Scott's done a great job.
You know, at the end of the year, they'll be there knocking somewhere on the door. They'll be there or thereabouts. So the two Sydney teams are good teams. And, you know, what are we, round six? Round six.
Long way to go.
It's a long way to go. A couple of injuries in any team. Yeah, you take out some of your best players, no matter who they are.
I think we've said it 3 weeks in a row. Did you see any of Harley Reid playing on the weekend again?
No, I didn't.
He's
mate,
an absolute superstar. No,
they said he had a period there just before the first quarter finished and at the start of the second quarter where he just was sensational.
Took the game over.
Yeah.
And West Coast won again against Fremantle. But
well, here we were talking about West Coast getting... free draft picks and trying to help them.
And he's changed the whole fortunes of that club.
Well, the last 3 weeks, so they pushed the Swans.
Yep.
Pushed the Swans.
And gather around.
Then they beat Richmond. And then they've beaten Fremantle. So, like, pushing the Swans is good. Then you could say, well, Richmond, struggling.
Rebuilding.
You know, that was a 50-50 game.
Frio had a good start.
But Frio's had a good start to the year. So... I don't who they got next, Mitter, and whereabouts for West Coast.
They have this week, of course. They have it's coming to me, Loz. The Gold Coast Suns on the Gold Coast on Sunday afternoon. So the Gold Coast coming up a couple of losses.
Yeah, well, they're going to travel. They're going to travel up to the Gold Coast. So if they can win this game, and again the Suns have been a bit up and down this year, but they're showing some decent signs, although yesterday they wouldn't have been happy with. If West Coast can win this game, which is achievable, mate, they've started the year off a lot better than anyone would have expected.
Yep. 1-2 in a row, looking for 3 in a row. They wouldn't have done that for a very long time. We've got Nick on the line. G'day, Nick. How are you?
Hey, gents.
Have you got a hero and villain for us?
Yeah, but I keep toying with it as I've been waiting on hold. I think I'm going to change my hero was going to be boxing as a whole, just because the fight yesterday was a bloody cracker. It was like, leading up to it was a bit of a schmozzle, but mate, the fight itself was an absolute cracker. But before I come to that, I want to chuck in my, maybe a prediction. But there was a fella playing for Melbourne, someone Chan. I don't know his name.
Joey Chan?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I reckon he's going to be big. I thought it might have been his first game, but I checked it out later, and I think he's had a couple. He had a cracker of a game. He's going to be bloody good.
Yeah, he's a good
player.
I don't
know much about him, though.
Yeah, he's the son of Alex Chan, who played with Melbourne years ago. Yeah, played at Parra too, yeah. He played in the English Super League, I think, for Catalans. And then the Melbourne Storm signed him last year, and... I don't know whether he played any first grade at all last year, but he's been given an opportunity this year.
He played one game last year.
One game last year. But I know they regard him highly. And he played in the middle on the weekend, but he's got a bit of size, a bit of speed. You're right. I think he's going to be a good player.
You got a villain for us, Nick?
The closest I'd get is, well, coming out of the boxing again, I think it was round six. The ref should have definitely called that a knockdown. You got Haney hanging on. When you get dropped by a punch and you're hanging on to the fella by his hips, mate, that's a knockdown every day of the week and twice on Sunday. I thought it was an absolute cracker of a fight. Cracker. Garcia's left hook was like an old De La Hoya's left hook from the 90s. Yeah. That's what boxing should be. Forget all the lead up. That fight itself was an absolute cracker.
Gee, I'll tell you what, wasn't he showboating there towards the end as well, in the last round, just taunting Devin Haney. Okay, we've got, thank you, Nick, we've got Wayne. Hello, Wayne, how are you?
G'day, man. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks, mate. Have you got a hero and villain for us?
Well, first of all, I think if BS is going to the Gulf in Adelaide with you, you want to help him out with a pair of shoes the way he's tipping lorry because he'll have holes in the ones he's got on.
I'm unsure of if he's coming or not. I don't think he is. I don't think he'd be down there with the Gulf. But I tell you what, Wayne, on a sad day, when he gets a winner, he's up and about, the big fella.
Oh, yeah, it could be something at $3.20 and then 10 losers on top of it. But anyway.
That's him. That's it. Thick and fast they come. Thick and fast.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My hero is the pony races and Chantelle Buckley for interviewing some of the kids after the races and that. Fantastic. She's got some talent, that girl.
Without a doubt, mate. Yep.
And the villain has to be Parramatta. I can't believe I rang up the other week. I can't believe they signed Trent Barrett. Honestly, their attack has got nothing at the moment. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
The halfback might have a bit to do with it as well.
I think missing Mitch Moses, but I still expected a bit more from Parramatta. And again, Wayne, I know there's a lot of people that are unhappy with what Parramatta tossed up on the weekend and haven't been happy for a while, and the coach sprayed them after the game. So this weekend is fascinating viewing for me, and I reckon a lot of other Parramatta fans, to see how they respond. Because after a pasting like that, you know that this week at training, the intensity will rise, and you'd hope they'll give a better account of themselves. And if they don't, then there'll be more questions asked.
And that's the test, isn't it? What happens this week? Not... Okay, last week you can't change it.
Yeah. You you've got to try and move on as quickly as you possibly can.
And they take on Manly, so it's not going to be an easy ask to run in. Manly, a good football team.
Yeah.
Good on you, Wayne. Thanks for the call. We've got time for Jeff. G'day, Jeff.
Good morning, boys. I've got a hero, Isaac Beecroft, the 16-year-old Australian winning the 10-kilometre walk at the World Championships in Turkey yesterday.
Okay, that's... One we didn't know, behind. So thank you for that. 16 years of age.
Yeah, he came from behind and passed the three Chinese athletes who were in the lead. He got them in the last lap. And also, in the same race, my nephew, Jonah Croft from New Zealand, he broke the New Zealand national record for the 10K walk as well.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, which was terrific. Yeah, in the World Championships and... the villains, of course, the Chinese women's swimming team.
Yeah, big story out of the weekend. And and the ensuing cover-up as well with WADA, etc. The fact that this has all just come out now, courtesy of some reporting. As I said earlier, a sizable stench to it, to say the least. Appreciate it, though, Jeff, and... well done. Good result for the family there. Press Room's coming up on Radio Tab. Of course, the Brisbane Carnival just around the corner. Andrew Brown is joining us. Brownie, good morning.
Good morning, Middo. And please send that rain away, for goodness sake. I mean, it's just been relentless. It's hopefully does stay away, of course, to kick off the Brisbane Carnival next week. And, of course, it's claimed Lismore today. And all those great supporters, the Bundaberg Greyhounds, is even off today, unfortunately. So, yeah, the weather really is having an effect at the moment. But we are counting down, not only Brisbane, of course, but South Australia, their big carnival this week, kicking off really... in big strides with the Robert Sangster and the Australasian Oaks as well. And, of course, got the Archer on Sunday. So, once again, David Fowler hosting Preston will be checking with Russell Leonard as we count down to the Archer next week. And all the regular guests, South Australian Mobile rolling, the previous of the races that we do have left. And it is good news, they are racing at Cairns today. And, of course, Townsville is due to race tomorrow as well. And we look forward to Anzac Day, Bow Desert. Yes, yeah, so plenty happening this week, as per usual, on Racing HQ.
Great stuff. We'll catch you shortly, Brownie.
Thanks, Mido.
And, yes, that's right. The Adelaide Carnival this week. And your mare's racing, what, in a couple of weeks, I think, Loz?
Yes, it would
couple
be.
Of weeks. The Queen of the South, I think, was the race she was heading over there to have a crack at.
That was my recollection.
Foxy Cleopatra. She's due.
Due for what?
To pay us punters who you keep spruiking her to.
Where is she at the moment? She's in training. She's in preparation.
Yeah, just prepping.
Right.
That's Adelaide. That's what we say. No, not in Adelaide, in Melbourne.
In Melbourne.
Cranbourne, she's based at.
Right.
Yeah, so she's just going through her paces.
And then she'll be travelling to Adelaide.
Yeah. Yeah. And she'll go over there and just become the star of the show, Stu.
Fair enough.
She'll be the highlight horse of the carnival.
That's a big call. Ron Duff, see punters post-mortem coming up. How are you, Duff?
Yeah, good. Thanks, boys.
We got through just the Group 1s on Saturday.
Yeah, just. It was a battle. Unfortunate. Mm. You know, it's messy racing. It's a very hard meeting to review as far as going forward or backwards. Just total forgive anything that got tailed off there. It's just... a very, very heavy track late in the day. It's the same old story. When it rains on the day, you don't need much rain. And that proved it again after, in contrast to the previous week. But a couple of worthy Group 1 winners, broadsiding, he'll train on. There's even thought that he might even train on to Queensland with a JJ Atkins preparation. So he's versatile, he's in good shape, and he did a really good job. Well, I think linebacker's the horse to follow moving forward. And he's just a terrific trainer, Graham Begg. He's got a limited team, but his strike rate is just unbelievable. He does a great job with these fillies and mares, and Magic Time is a real little go-getter. That's two Group 1s for her.
What about Marzu Duff? Is he back, or are you just going to run him on wet tracks?
No, oh, I don't know. I had something on him in the TJ Smith after 200 mils of rain, and the ambulance nearly ran him over. but look, it was a different heavy. He might be back. He just mightn't have been fit enough in the TJ. So if he reproduces that, he's a good horse. You know, he was up there with our top sprinters, but lost his way. But Joe's the master of the tried horse, and now that he's found some form with him, I think we've got to be wary of him from here on in.
I suppose it's hard to take... I will ask you. Out of that meeting on the weekend, is there anything you'd like going forward?
Well, it's dangerous following with confidence. I think there's a couple. I think Tannhauser, who I was hot on Saturday, it was a meeting where if you didn't find the fence, you had no hope at some stage of the race. So I thought him coming to the middle of the track was a complete disadvantage, so I'm hoping the market opposes him if he goes to Queensland, and I'll jump back on board him. And considering Goldman was first up, he could well be just a heavy tracker, but he was Melbourne Cup favourite for a while last year, but he just lost his way a little bit. For him to resume at 2,000 metres and run so well, I think he's back. Maybe a Brisbane Cup could be in the offering for him.
And we lost a special one late last week in the mighty Lonro Duff.
Yeah, what a champion. The people's horse. He put a lot of people, lots of thrills into racing. A very popular horse with his fighting quality. So we'll miss him. He was a great horse and a great sire as well. So, yep, he'll go down in history as one of our greats.
Good on you, Duff. Thank you.
See you, guys.
We'll catch Ron Duffy shortly. Yes, Stewie.
Hey, I forgot to ask. Did you advance the game in Singapore for rugby league? You know, on the
great
balls?
Question.
Did you? Was there any advancement?
We got plans in place.
We?
Yeah, we got plenty of plans
Who's
in
we?
Place.
Was Abdo on the trip? Where did
the
Abdo turn?
Board? No, they had to stay behind.
Right.
But they were certainly there. Both days
oh, yeah.
On Zoom.
So you advanced. There was a little bit of advancement.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
They fly your business
class. We're making inroads.
Did they fly
in
your
countries business? That you wouldn't even expect rugby league to be played?
Kazakhstan,
Kyrgyzstan?
Are they?
You never know. There's been expressions of interest.
Did they fly your business class?
No,
they didn't.
No,
that's not good. I thought.
Nah, I don't care.
What man of your stature in the game and a board member of International Rugby Union Rugby League Federation. Could be some sort of French sort of name. I would have thought. Up the front of the plane. No. International Rugby Federation. You know, when you go to the Olympics, you hear them say it.
Chef de mission.
Chef. Oh, that's what I want to be.
He'd be right.
Chef de mission.
Chef de mission.
We've got to give a winner out for heroes and villains, folks. I'm going to give it to a text today for something different. To the Wollongong Wolf. On your Wolf.
Not on Wolfie.
The young up-and-comers in the pony race at Randwick is hero and para. The second half performance, worst in a long time, was his villain. Thank you for all the calls, all the texts. Stewie, go and advance softball today, mate.
Advance the interests of softball now. Yeah. I'm on my way.
Loz, you just advance life.
I'll be advancing straight to the gym.
Really?
That's what I'll be advancing to.
Have a great Monday, everyone.